Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Stacey Gotsoulias, and I'm the host of Locked On Yankees. I'm a baseball writer turned podcast host, and you may have read my work at places like Baseball Prospectus, the Hardball Times, Sporting News, and the ESPN Sweet Spot blog. You can find Locked On Yankees on Twitter at Locked On Yankees, all one word. You can find me on Twitter at Stace Gotts. We're also on Instagram at Locked On Yankees, all one word. So like and comment and look at our stories, do all that stuff. If you're a new listener to the show, hello and welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoyed today's episode. It is going to be a little different because some rule changes came out. The Pioneer League is doing some experimental stuff and I had some thoughts, and so did Gabrielle of Locked On Red Sox, and then it evolved into a conversation about how baseball is basically eating itself alive and making it so it will not recruit new fans. So I hope you enjoy the conversation, because we talk about a lot. But first, you can get Locked On Yankees, Locked On Red Sox, and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Gabrielle Starr of Locked On Red Sox. So as I mentioned at the top, some rule changes came out for the Pioneer League. And I said it on Twitter, I'm going to say it here. I feel as if the people who run baseball are the ones ruining baseball for everyone else. Like, they keep wanting to change everything to make it better, but they're actually making it worse. And with me right now, I have Gabrielle Starr of Locked On Red Sox. This is a last second, not even a, really like a crossover. I just was like, someone needs to come on my show to talk to me about this stuff. And Gabrielle was nice enough to say, I'll come on. So Gabrielle, do you agree with me that it feels like baseball, they're the ones that are ruining baseball for everyone else?
In a lot of ways, I 100% agree with you, Stace. I mean, a friend of mine said it really well 2 years ago when it was announced that that Major League Baseball would begin implementing the 3-batter minimum. She said to me, baseball basically is saying, or Major League Baseball, if we're going to be specific, which I think is fair because not every league is doing the same thing.
Right.
Major League Baseball is basically trying to sell you a product while telling you that they don't like their own product. That's what all of these rule changes are. They're saying you should consume what we're selling, but we keep changing it, which means we don't actually think that our product is good the way it is. And I think it's a huge problem because most baseball fans actually like baseball the way it is. And the only thing that these rules do to a certain extent is alienate existing fans, because somebody who doesn't care about baseball at all isn't going to see the difference between the rules that the Pioneer League is instituting for 2021 and the way baseball was before these rules happened, because they don't see the value in baseball to begin with. You know, the same thing with the 3-batter minimum or the runner on second to start the 10th inning, any of these things that baseball does to change its essence, they only annoy people who already love baseball because we're the only ones who see the difference.
Right. And I also feel as if the only people that really ever bitch and moan about extra innings are the writers, which I understand because you're at the ballpark a long time. I mean, you don't just get there right before the game starts. You do all the pregame stuff. Then you're there until after the game. You have deadlines you need to meet. I get that whole thing, but they're really the only people who are complaining about it. Fans, I mean, I know a lot of fans who actually like extra inning games because you get extra baseball. What's wrong with extra baseball?
Like, I'm one of those fans.
Problems. Yeah. You know, and it's not such a problem that extra inning games are happening,
you know, five times a night, like different, you know, five games a night are going into extra innings. And it's not as if all these extra inning games are going 18, 19, 20 innings. I mean, for the most part, you'll occasionally see a 10, 11, maybe a 12. You'll get the rare, you know, 16, 17, 18, 19 inning game. But this isn't such a scourge that they need to do something about it. And again, it's Major League Baseball making it harder for people who already like baseball to keep liking it, and making it so people who don't like baseball don't even want to bother with it. And that's why viewership is, I don't know if viewership's going down, but it's, baseball's not as popular as it once was. Younger kids aren't playing as much baseball as they were years ago. I mean, I wanted to play baseball when I was a kid. Mom wouldn't let me because I have a wonky eye, but I wanted to play baseball in the 80s. Girls wanted to play baseball in the 80s, and some people did. I couldn't because of my eye, so I scored my dad's Little League games. I don't understand what baseball's problem is and why they keep doing this. They don't market the right players. They don't market the sport the right way. They have blackout restrictions that are absolutely ridiculous. There are people in states that can't watch teams. Someone the other night was complaining that they were in Texas and they're a Cubs fan and they still couldn't watch a Cubs game. Like, I don't understand. Baseball is basically feeding on itself and ruining themselves.
I literally tweeted this morning, a really talented creator named Daniel Kim said, looks like at MLB underscore PR is blocking me from covering MLB games. Started creating MLB content years ago when no one cared about MLB in Korea and had surpassed 50 million views just on my YouTube channel alone. Love the game too much to give up, but this is very disappointing. And I quote tweeted him and I said, MLB should be working with talented content creators who actually want to grow the game. They're truly their own worst enemy. I will never understand. I mean, it's like asking why you're bleeding when you shot yourself. Mm-hmm. That's what MLB does to itself all the time. And, you know, I don't remember if it was an article or a podcast episode, but I talked about MLB attendance a year or so ago, and I've got numbers to throw at you. In 2019, obviously we can't talk about 2020. That's not, you know, it's worthless for this argument, but 2019, 68.49 million in attendance in Major League Baseball. And the year before, 2018, 69.64. The year before that, 2017, 72.67, even though there was one less game in 2017 than there was in 2018. So MLB is losing fans every single year. In 2016, they had over 73 million. This is a league that is losing fans literally every single year. And it has been that way. They went up and I don't even really know what to say, but in 2019 was the first year that an MLB team had less than a million fans in home attendance at their ballpark for the season. That was the Marlins. And they were the first team since the 04 Expos to post under a million in fan attendance for the season. And between the Marlins and the Rays, the two Florida teams where Florida baseball is supposedly super popular, those two teams combined for less than 2 million fans.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the Rays thing is, you know, I understand that the stadium is a pain in the ass to get to because it's actually in St. Petersburg and you have to go around the bay or the bay and go all the way down to the bottom of the peninsula. And it's a pain in the ass and people don't want to go. But this is a team that's good. They've been good the last few years and people still don't want to go see them. I can understand people not wanting to see the Marlins. That's understandable. But,
even know, though this last year they were a postseason team and you know, this year they're still, I mean, Rom Leighton, who hosts our Locked On Marlins podcast, said that Jacob deGrom and Corbin Burns, arguably the two best pitchers in the National League, have surrendered a combined 6 earned runs in 9 starts this season. And 5 of those 6 earned runs have been scored by the Marlins. So it's not like the Marlins don't have that talent now. I mean, you can't talk about the last, you know, decade aside from that, but the Marlins now are actually a good team. Yeah. And I still don't think, you know, that they are going to have top 10 in attendance in Major League Baseball this year.
Right. It is a really big problem. In a moment, more of my conversation with Gabrielle Starr of Locked On Red Sox. But first, this episode is brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Rings sure to bring joy into her life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring. Ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece, they're the perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available now through Mother's Day only on BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10x10. This collection features high quality, fine jewelry that will surprise and delight, and it's fairly priced, so you can give her something special and truly meaningful. The ring from Platt Boutique is amazing. It's so simple and clean, but the vintage details are just incredible. It's a perfect little ring that's so timeless and would make the perfect gift for mom or a loved one. If you're on the hunt for the perfect unique ring she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long, so find them now by searching the words 10x10 only at BlueNile.com. I know I say this all the time, but I do not own a car like a true New Yorker, but if you do, you should go to RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. This year, the Locked On Podcast Network is partnering with the Draft Network to cover the NFL Draft live. Get insight and analysis from Locked On local experts and the Draft Network's national experts. Subscribe to the Locked On NFL YouTube page to watch live 3-day coverage of the NFL Draft starting April 29th and going through May 1st. My conversation with Gabrielle Starr of Locked On Red Sox continues. So what do you think of this idea that a tie game will be decided? I know a lot of people used to joke about this. Like, people would come up with funny instances on Twitter. Like, oh, if a game goes to extra innings, maybe they can do a skills contest, or maybe they can do this and that. But the fact that these ideas are actually becoming rules now, or they're testing them out to be rules, is kind of ridiculous. So if, in case people don't know, the Pioneer League is testing out this. If a game is tied in extra innings, they'll decide it by a home run derby, which I find hilarious. I think that, I don't know, I feel like that sort of thing should be done in an all-star game, because, you know, you can kind of throw the rules out during an exhibition game like that. But for games that count towards a team's record and count toward whether or not a team makes the playoffs and all that stuff, I feel it's silly.
Yeah, it's definitely, it feels kind of like sideshow baseball a little bit more than real baseball. I mean, I understand not wanting to strain your pitching staffs, especially like the Pioneer Baseball League obviously doesn't have the same kind of minor league system depth that Major League Baseball has, but they're not doing extra innings. It's like, they're basically doing like a sudden death shootout in hockey, but for home runs. Like, the rule says each team designates a hitter who receives 5 pitches, with the game determined by the most home runs hit. If still tied after the first knockout round, another hitter is selected for a sudden death home run face-off until a winner is declared. I mean, it sounds like total chaos. Part of me is here for total chaos. Another part of me is like, I'm one of those people. I will sit at an 18 inning baseball game. I have sat at multiple 18, 19 inning baseball games in my life, including back-to-back nights in 2017. The Red Sox, for whatever reason, over the last few years have just had an unbelievable number of extra inning games. They just can't seem to get it done.
Is it their fault that this is happening? I'm just kidding.
You know, a lot of things are their fault, so I wouldn't be surprised.
I just think it's funny because so many times, like I said, a bunch of us on baseball Twitter would come up with these ridiculous ideas like, oh, maybe when they go to extra innings, they can run the bases the opposite way. And if you hit a single, you go to third. And if you hit a triple, you go to first. And just coming up with all these crazy rules. And it just feels like some of these independent and minor leagues are saying, hey, maybe that's not such a bad idea. Maybe we should make the batter moonwalk to third base on a single.
That'd I mean, I live with a guy who hates the runner on second and 10th inning rule so much that every single time the Red Sox go to extras, I hear about how dumb this rule is. And it's not, I'm inclined to agree. But I don't know. I just, my biggest thing at the end of the day is people who love baseball aren't happy with rule changes. Mm-hmm. And people who don't care about baseball don't see the difference. So it's not going to be what changes things for them. The thing that is going to change baseball's trajectory of trending downward is not blacking out everyone from games that are 10 states away, mm-hmm. making games affordable, marketing to families with young kids and making games affordable for kids, or even allowing kids to come into your ballpark for free. Because if you didn't grow up, I feel like I've never met a person who got into baseball as an adult. Every person I know who loves baseball has grown up loving baseball. I talked about this with Ryan, our Locked On Mets host, when we recorded together yesterday. I said, even when the Red Sox make me want to throw myself out a window, I've been a baseball fan since before I can remember. Mm-hmm. So it's really not an option for me to like just stop being a baseball fan. Like, I don't think I physically could do that. And that's the thing. But I don't think anyone in like their 20s or 30s just like becomes a diehard baseball fan, because baseball is that sport where, you know, you remember going to the ballpark as a kid and bringing a glove, even though you weren't sitting in any section that you could possibly catch a foul ball, and trying to get autographs after the game, like looking for the mascot so you could take a picture, you know, eating ice cream in the hot sun at a game during on a Sunday afternoon with your parents. Like, there's a lot of romanticism and memories and childhood nostalgia that's wrapped up in the game of baseball. And the only way that baseball is going to correct the direction that it's going in is if they remember that baseball is that game that was made for families and kids.
Mm-hmm. I think the only adults I know who got into baseball are foreigners. You know, you're starting to see people from England embracing baseball, and it wasn't like they grew up with it. I know a couple of people from England who started watching baseball as an adult and got really into it. But other than that, here, yeah, it's something, if you didn't like it as a kid, you're not going to like it as an adult. If you were into another sport first, that's usually your sport. But if you grow up loving baseball, going to baseball games with your family, having it be an event, you know, there were times we would go out to Long Island to visit my dad's side of the family, the Greek side of the family. And I can't tell you how many times we were on the Cross Bronx Expressway at 7:30 at night, and my dad going, you want to just go to the Yankee game? You know, we were on the way home. My mom's like, sure. And we would just make the left on Jerome Avenue, drive down to the stadium, and just randomly go to a game. I remember as a kid driving by Yankee Stadium before I even was able to go into Yankee Stadium and just wanting to go in so badly, because I watched, you know, not whole games with my dad because I was really young at the time. And when I finally went, I just, you know, when you're a kid and your first baseball game is when you're young, it leaves such an impression on you that you just keep wanting to go. And it is a romantic thing. I always used to joke that my boyfriends were, you know, the Yankees 25-man roster, because I couldn't be bothered with real guys because I was too hung up on baseball to care. And, you know, that's not true anymore. But when I was younger, sure, because I loved baseball so much. And I want other people to feel that. And I feel as if new fans coming up don't feel that way. It's just totally different. And as you said, it is so expensive to go to a baseball game now. It's absolutely ridiculous.
And I paid like $10 for mozzarella sticks at Yankee Stadium in 2019. I could not believe it. I was like, this is, I mean, I know that they were huge, but still.
It's just, it's crazy thinking about how much it is for tickets, how much it is for food, how much it is for drinks,
parking.
You know, we always got around that. You know, my dad would park the car. We would park the car at the end of the subway line and then take the subway down because.
Oh yeah. I mean, we walked like but you know, for Fenway, it's like $50 to park your car.
Yeah. I think it's about that by Yankee Stadium. They may have lowered it a little bit in some of the other outer lots, but it's absolutely ludicrous how expensive it is to go to a baseball game. And then baseball wonders why families aren't going anymore. Or I shouldn't say that. Rich families can go, but yeah. You don't have the blue collar, lower middle class families going as much as they can. Like, they make it a yearly event. Once a year, they get to go to a baseball game. It's not like it used to be where we could, like I said, we could just literally on a whim, hey, you want to go to Yankee Stadium? Okay. We did that on the 4th of July one year, and we ended up seeing a fireworks show after the game, and Chubby Checker and Jerry Lee Lewis put on a concert in the middle of the Yankee Stadium field.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
It was amazing. That stuff doesn't happen now.
In a moment, more of my conversation with Gabrielle Starr of Locked On Red Sox. But first, Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action on Bet Online. This week has tons of sports action on the go, as the NFL draft is on, and the Kentucky Derby is back as the first leg of the Triple Crown begins this weekend. Get all the latest news, odds, and info on all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all of your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign up for bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That is 50-50. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. And now the conclusion of my conversation with Gabrielle Starr of Locked On Red Sox.
So yeah, baseball just really has a problem with lots of different things. It's not even just the silly rule changes and trying to change the game. It's like you said, with the blackouts, I don't understand the whole blackout thing. I don't understand why they would not allow people from wherever they are to watch whatever game they want to.
Yeah. And I know for a fact that people who work at certain levels of MLB have a blackout free option, but you know what I found out somewhat recently? I think it was Josh Bell on the Nationals. He tweeted recently that he was trying to watch a baseball game. Mm-hmm. And he, a literal Major League Baseball player, was blacked out from the game that he was trying to watch. And if that doesn't tell you everything you need to know about Major League Baseball, I don't know what does, because they're the people who make them the money and like enable the corporate partnerships and these TV deals and everything are not able to watch their own teammates and their own, you know, fellow athletes play. And I genuinely don't understand how you do that. Like, how you tell a player, no, you're blacked out from your own job.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous. But the other thing is, you know, I grew up like the same way as you. You know, my mom would call and say, you know, she works at a law firm. Now she's one of the owners of the law firm, but she would call and say, hey, I have the firm seats for tonight's game. We're going to go to the game. Meet me at Fenway. And she would take the trolley from her office, and we would either walk or take the trolley, and we would meet in the middle at Fenway Park, like 10 minutes away from my childhood home. And we would just go to the game. I don't even remember my first Red Sox game. That's how young I was. But I remember being a kid and going into Fenway Park and being in such awe at like my surroundings and having the best time. And I've been sitting in the same seats since I was a baby. I grew up in those seats. And that's what baseball used to be about. You know, my dad grew up going to Fenway with his dad to see Carl Yastrzemski in the World Series. And my grandfather and his brother grew up going to Fenway Park and watching the Red Sox and going to see the Boston Braves way, way, way back. And now, you know, you don't have that. Like, literally generations of baseball fans are now dying out because the new ones aren't coming up. They're fans of football. They're fans of basketball. They're fans of hockey. They're not baseball fans. I mean, I was a school teacher and I in 2018 in LA, I had like one baseball fan in my class, one, during the World Series in Los Angeles. I had one baseball fan in my class of second graders.
Because I remember, I think I told the story, but when I was in seventh grade, 86, 87 school year. So that was the fall of the Mets. And the first day of school, our homeroom teacher asked all of us who we rooted for. And me and my friend Andy were the only two who said Yankees. Everyone else said Mets. So our homeroom teacher basically tortured us for the whole fall. But every single kid in that class answered that question. None of them said, oh, I don't watch baseball.
Right.
Even the girls in the class said, I'm a Met fan, or I'm, you know, it's not like that now. And it's so sad to me.
It's, you know, I had a kid in my class the following year in 2019. I was teaching fourth grade, and I had a kid in my class. It was Jewish school, and they were doing a project called like Jewish heroes or something for their other class. And one of the little boys in my class came in to class wearing a really old looking like vintage Tigers cap. And I said, oh, I really like your cap. And he said, thanks. My Jewish heroes project is Hank Greenberg.
Mm.
And I tweeted out something about the baseball cap and like Hank Greenberg. And I tagged the Tigers and the Baseball Hall of Fame. And this was, okay, February 27th, 2019. I said, one of my students decided to come in dressed as Hank Greenberg today, and I've never been more proud. And I posted a picture of the old cap. And the Baseball Hall of Fame responded to my tweet and asked me if they could mail something to my class. And the following week, March 6, 2019, a big package of baseball cards and, Hall of Fame memorabilia showed up at the school for my class. And they had written him a handwritten note on a postcard that had Hank Greenberg's plaque on it. And they sent him a handwritten note from the Hall of Fame. And all the kids in class thought it was so cool. But he was the only one that had been a baseball fan before mm-hmm. that. He was the only one.
Right.
And it was really awesome that all of these other kids then got into it. But the fact that I had one kid in my class who was into baseball, I was like, this is so sad for me. I mean, because like you said, I mean, in 2004, we had like four kids in my class who were Yankees fans. And the school had to make a rule that none of us could wear any baseball or any sports memorabilia during the postseason, because the Red Sox fans and the Yankees fans in my class were physically fighting each other. And like, I don't think that happens anymore. And yeah, I mean, look, we've talked about the rivalry being really tired, but the bigger issue here is I don't think kids today care about baseball. And the reason that they don't care is because if their parents try to get them to care, baseball's like, no.
Right.
You know, they don't make it affordable for families to come to the ballpark. You know, I get messages from people on Twitter being like, hey, I'm trying to take my kids to a Red Sox fan. Do you know any way I can get discounted tickets? I can only afford one game for the season. It's an 162 game season. If people are saying that they can only afford one game or no games at all, that's a huge problem for Major League Baseball. And mm-hmm. the thing is that the ticket revenue, they don't need it as much. They make way more money from their corporate sponsorships.
Right.
So like they could make games affordable if they really wanted to, especially any ballpark. I mean, leave COVID out of it because, you know, that the capacity thing is a different kind of restriction. But if it's 2019 and you are the Marlins and you have nobody in your ballpark, why aren't you opening up free tickets for kids under the age of 10? Your seats are empty anyways.
And think about that whole, like we both said, people, it's gotten to the point where they can only go to one baseball game a whole season. It's like when people used to, well, people still do, but when we were kids, parents would save up all year so you could go to Disney World. It's the same thing, but it's a baseball game. It's not a trip to Florida for a week. It's one baseball game. It's absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah. And you know what? A day pass to go to Disneyland is like $100 now. Mm-hmm. Most baseball tickets are more than that.
Right.
And a day at Disneyland is longer. And I would venture to say, I think the snacks are cheaper.
Yeah, I went to Disney World for the first time as an adult in 06, and I hadn't been there since 91. 91 was the last time I went with my parents, and I never paid for anything. My dad paid for everything, so right. I didn't know how expensive it was. And that day, that was 15 years ago, it was $71 for me just to go to Magic Kingdom. And when I called my dad later that night to tell him I went to Magic Kingdom, I did all this stuff, and I said, yeah, it was $71. He's like, what? He couldn't believe how expensive it got. And if he were still alive now and I told him, oh yeah, it's like $100 to go to Magic Kingdom, he would probably faint.
It's, I mean, I did the math a few years ago, assuming if you sat in like the nicer bleacher seats at Fenway, it's probably like $60 for a ticket, including fees.
Those are $60?
Yeah. I mean, there are cheaper ones that like the least nice ones are probably like $40-something.
Okay.
But then you have fees. So right. It's still like $60. I mean, mm-hmm. The fees are ridiculous. And then, you know, you can't bring your own food and drink into the ballpark, and say it's a summer evening in July and it's 80, 90 degrees outside. You're going to need a $6 bottle of water because you don't want to die of right. dehydration at the ballpark. Oh,
they don't let you bring in a bottle mm-mm. of water that isn't opened.
Nope.
Really?
Mm-mm.
No. Oh yeah, no, we have the water guys outside Yankee Stadium too, bottles for $5.
And we go no, in. they don't let you, they check, you know, I'm sure they have, I don't remember from my one time at Yankee Stadium, but they have, you know, security, and they check your bags and stuff like that. I've snuck snacks into the ballpark before, but right. they're really hyper-vigilant about beverages. And so, you know, you're going to want your water. And then you're going to want something to eat because the games are 4 hours long, especially if you bring kids to the ballpark. That's the thing. Like, you can't bring snacks and drinks for your kids. So you're forced to spend money at the ballpark because, you know, capitalism. Mm-hmm. And you can't just bring a kid to a ballpark, like a 6-year-old kid, and not expect them to be hungry for 4 hours. That's not how children work, you know?
Right.
And especially if they see all the food and treats that they have at ballparks, you know, kids are going to want, like, I used to get Cracker Jacks or cotton candy. And, you know, the funny thing is that the snacks cost more now than they did when I was a kid, but the snacks are smaller. Like oh, yeah. when I was a kid, if you were getting Cracker Jacks at the ballpark, you were getting a full sized box of Cracker Jacks.
Oh yeah. Now they're these little skimpy, tiny things.
It's like a bag, and the bag's mostly air, mm-hmm. and it's $5.
Right.
And the toys aren't even as cool.
Right.
And the cotton candy used to be like this massive sack that I would bring home with me, and I would eat throughout the week in my bedroom. Like, it's like a hidden treat. Now it's like, you know, just one giant clump of blue cotton candy, you know, and the hot dogs are like $6.25, and French fries are like $5. And it's, I mean, you can spend, and don't even get, I mean, look, beers are $15 at Fenway Park.
Yeah. It's insane. That's why I try not to spend money on stuff, or if I do, I'll save up enough money. So when I do go to Yankee Stadium, I'll get my steak covered fries for $15. Although I heard they're not serving them this season, which I'm very upset about because they're so good. It looks like Alpo. It looks like the grossest thing you could possibly eat, but it is so good. And they give you so much that one time I brought stuff home because I couldn't finish the portion that they gave me at the stadium. And I had dinner that night. I was like, can you give me a top to the tray so I could close it up? They're like, yeah. And I brought it home on the subway in the car, heated it up in the microwave, and had dinner.
You know what the other thing is though, with the food, it's accessibility. A lot of people, Fenway Park is actually kind of the worst about this. Most of the other ballparks I've been to, including Yankee Stadium, have a lot more options, but like kosher food, vegetarian food, non-dairy food. Fenway Park had a veggie burger until the 2017 season. And beginning in 2018, I have not found a veggie burger at the ballpark.
Really?
And they used to have one. So it's like, how do you go back to not having a veggie burger? They have one veggie hot dog stand. And I went on opening day, and it wasn't even open. It was one of the stands that they didn't open everything to full capacity because the ballpark's not full capacity.
Right.
But like, you need to open the vegetarian stand. There are vegetarians at your ballpark. Like, the last 2+ years, I have been eating tater tots as my meal at Fenway Park. That's not a meal.
That's ridiculous. Cause I mean, the Yankees made it a point to come out with things that are more friendly for people who don't eat certain things. they made it a point to say, oh, this is vegetarian, you can have this. This is this, you can have
this.
Yeah,
I mean, I went to a game in May 2019 with my best friend who is a diehard Yankees fan. And I said to her, I was like, look, I hate your ballpark. I hate your team, but I'm super impressed by how many vegetarian, like I got a veggie burger, I got sushi, I got mozzarella sticks. Like, yeah, I spent like $40, but I was actually well fed at a ballpark. And Dodger Stadium has a veggie burger. Angel Stadium has a veggie burger. Oakland has a veggie burger. I don't understand what Fenway is doing.
And it's more mainstream now. This isn't.
Yeah, it's also a health thing. Some people just don't want to eat beef.
Right. Right. And it's more, I mean, there's so many things now with food allergies and this and that, where you have to be careful with what you're cooking and what it's next to, and you don't want to cross contaminate. And I just don't understand why people aren't more thoughtful when it comes to that. I find that surprising about Fenway that they wouldn't do that.
Yeah. I mean, you would think that they, especially because there are a lot of healthy things in the area, like, but the problem is you can't bring them in. So like you can go to the Sweet Green a block away from Fenway to get a salad, you know, a $14 salad before the game. But if you're a fan and not, you know, press, like if I go in and I have media credentials, I can bring food in. Mm-hmm. But if I go as a fan, I can't. So I can go to a bunch of healthy places around Fenway and eat before the game, but I can't bring it in with me. And I don't want to eat what's in the ballpark because it's not actually protein. It's just tater tots.
Right. Oh, baseball, what are you doing? Everything about it is just...
And yet here we are preparing to watch games tonight.
Exactly. I know. It's, God, we're just, it's ingrained in us, like you said, from basically birth. I mean, if you have parents who've been watching baseball, you know, my dad was born in 41, started going to Yankee Stadium in around 46, 47. You know, his uncle took him to the Polo Grounds because he was a Giants fan. My great uncle Gus, my dad's namesake, who tried to convert my dad into a Giants fan. And my dad was like, nah, but he got to go to both stadiums and was really into watching baseball. And because of him, I am the way that I am. It's just so sad to me that, you know, so many things are making it where people aren't going to be like us in 20, 30, 40 years. You know, that's just, that makes me so sad.
It makes me really sad too. I mean, I don't know who I would be if I hadn't grown up near Fenway Park going to games. Like I don't know what I would have done for a living. I don't know. I probably wouldn't be dating my boyfriend. Like I would have all this free time. So like, maybe I would have been able to, you know, cure COVID or something. Maybe I'd be like a scientist if my brain had all this extra space for, you know, numbers and body parts, as opposed to random stats about Babe Ruth in 1920. But I think about all of the things that have shaped me into the person I am. And so many of them are baseball things. And I think about all of these kids who don't have that opportunity to become like us. For better or for worse. I mean, we live a crazy life, but you know, it's just sad that they're not given the opportunity to choose whether or not they want baseball in their lives. And the reason that they're not being given that opportunity is because they're being priced out and blacked out of baseball.
I hate it. I hate everything about it. It makes me sad.
It makes me sad too, man.
So thank you for doing this with me. I appreciate of course.
Any excuse to yell about baseball.
You guys could check out Gabrielle on Locked On Red Sox. I promise she's perfectly fine. She's a wonderful girl.
What a resounding endorsement that is. She's perfectly fine. I'm going to put that in the bio for Locked On Red Sox.
No, Gabrielle is wonderful and you should listen to her. You should listen to all of our podcasts. We have a good group of people putting out content every day. People tell me all the time, I don't like the Yankees, but I like your podcast. So give all the other Locked On shows a try. You never know. You might want to subscribe to Locked On Red Sox. You might want to subscribe to Locked On Mets. Who knows? But again, thank you for joining me on this.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Anytime.
Isn't it funny how we went from complaining about how much baseball is changing itself to talking about how we can't help but love the sport? It's kind of one of those, you know, when you love a sport that doesn't love you back sort of thing. I'll never not love baseball, but I'll always be annoyed by it. That was probably the main
point of that conversation. Tomorrow will be a usual episode, as in I will recap tonight's game, I will preview tomorrow's game, do all that good stuff. Quickly, tonight, Corey Kluber against Bruce Zimmerman. Kluber is going to try and stop the Yankees from another three-game losing streak. Guess we'll find out if that happens. But for now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Red Sox. I can't believe I just said that. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your Tuesday, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.